tell me about the Knights. How do you refer to it when people say, well, what is this ensemble? What do you guys do?
The Knights are an ensemble of musicians that come together for a shared joy and love of making music together in so many different types of settings. Chamber music concerts where, you know, you could have 4 to 8 musicians. You could have an orchestra concert with 50 or 60 musicians. And I think actually this new album, Azul, is actually a perfect example of the types of things we like to do, which is playing absolutely new music written very recently, reinventing older music and creating music for the orchestra itself.
I know also that this ensemble is fairly flexible in terms of its size, so you bring in whoever you need for whatever the piece is that you're performing. Is that uncommon? Or?
Well, I think we do identify as a chamber orchestra as the base, and the membership of the Knights is about 35 people, chamber orchestra size. But yes, we have voracious appetites for all kinds of music, and that comes in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, like the Stockhausen piece that we recorded on this album is for 7 people, and those are all members of the Knights. And then we have the Sufjan Stevens piece arranged by Mike Atkinson that's just the string members. And then you have Osvaldo Golioff's Azul, which is a concerto with yo-yo and with the orchestra, which is about 50 musicians. So depending on, you know, the project and the music that we're attempting to do and putting together, it all fits into that sort of world.
Now, I know that Yo-Yo Ma has had kind of a long-term collaboration with this ensemble. Tell me about how your relationship with him has made a difference in your lives.
Well, it's everything. I mean, there's so much that he has. I'll say one of the most transformative concerts I've ever been to in my life is when I saw Colin and Yo-Yo play the Ravel Piano Trio at Carnegie. It was one of the first Silk Road concerts on tour, and I was just so blown away by the thing and also just the idea of my brother being on stage with Yo-Yo. Just so mind-boggling. And then I remember, weeping and total joy and seeing that actually Colin was absolutely in the same world and the same musical poetry on stage as Yo-Yo was totally transformative and very intimidating because, you know, it was before Colin and I started really playing together, and it just gave me something to strive for. And of course, since then, we've gotten to know each other quite a bit more and continuing that relationship.
Well, I think it's a personal relationship that goes back many years, both from Eric and myself and a number of other musicians in the Knights. A number of us play in the Silk Road Ensemble as well. And the Knights was born around the same time as the Silk Road Ensemble, and I think we, over the years, have looked to Yo-Yo for mentorship, for guidance on how to make an organization really inclusive of diverse points of view. So he's been a friend and a mentor and a hero for years now.
You know, when we come together and play with him in the past, he's played a handful of the cello concerto repertoire with us. I think all of those concerti, you know, playing Tchaikovsky and Schumann and Saint-Saëns and things like that with him, made it possible so that we can be flexible and vulnerable when coming together and playing a piece by Osvaldo Golioff. And actually becoming part of that piece takes a lot. And I think the honesty and the exchange that happened in all of those previous encounters with Yo-Yo made this recording and this interaction possible.
So, Eric, I know you've been doing more conducting as of late. Do you conduct the Knights as well?
You know, I conduct the Knights when we need a conductor, and I feel like that's been the way that we've been doing things for the last 10 years or so. I think we love performing without a conductor. I love playing within the group as a cellist. And then for certain pieces, such as some of the pieces on this album, Osvaldo's piece and Dvorak, Song of the Moon and Collins' piece Ascending Bird. Those were pieces that it felt like we as an ensemble can get to the heart of music making sooner if there is someone who whose job it is to listen and to help coordinate communication and active listening, where a piece like the Sufjan Stevens really feels like a jam piece, feels like a string quartet expanded or possibly like a band. And that felt like a piece like, well, we're just all able to jump right on this, and actually maybe a conductor would be superfluous to that, and maybe even not helping the communication. So we like to sort of base it on what's going to help us make music sooner.
Okay, well, let's dive into Azul. The concept of this recording is a little bit cosmic, I mean, in the literal sense. Can you explain how the music on this recording helps to address the question of perspective?
I think the basis of this recording, the centerpiece, is Osvaldo Golijov's piece, Azul. Osvaldo talks about an experience he had in the summer of 2000 when he had been spending time in the Middle East, in Israel, you know, had witnessed the renewed wave of violence that happened that summer there. Then he went to the Hayden Planetarium in New York and saw one of those incredible views of the Earth from the space station above, and just was struck by this incredible planet that we live on and how beautiful it is from above, and how you don't get that sense of all the struggle of life down on the surface when you're up there. And so he was trying to reconcile those two things, that this planet that we live on from above that seems so beautiful and blue and borderless. You know, and then the view that is down here and all the barriers that we put up either as countries or as individuals to other individuals, and the music becomes a sort of cosmic conversation between cello and accordion, used in an incredible way by Michael Ward Bergman. And two wizards of percussion, Jamie Haddad and Ciro Baptista. And then a full orchestra of knights. We just were so inspired by that piece and the way it reaches really for something beyond this planet, and then also looks at this planet, that we wanted the whole album to reflect that sense of either looking up at the stars from below or looking down on Earth from above.
Now, Osvaldo Golijov, his composing voice is so unique. How would you describe what he does to create his unique voice?
His form of communication is music. He has one of the most incredible vocabularies and palettes to describe what he's looking for. It's a unique skill set that a lot of composers don't have. He uses words that transport musicians, and he has no problem using any word. He chooses what fits the moment. And this piece, if you'll listen to it, I actually, the first time I heard it, it was hard for me to think about what was actually written on the page, because it was huge. It was cosmic in that phrases went on forever and little nuances happened continuously. I think there's an interesting end to this piece is that he calls the accordion and the two percussionists continuo players. And that's a word that we think about when we think about Bach, Corelli, Handel, you know, people that were sort of keeping this interest, keeping the motion going. And I feel like when you listen to this piece, it really is exactly what he did. He took this continuo group, the accordion and the percussion, and it became this cosmic glue between all the music that he wrote, whether in Yo-Yo's solo part or these wails that come in the trumpets or these long lines in the horns and the trombones.
You've brought up the percussion a couple of times because it is so dominant in this piece. And the percussion instruments, I love the way you described it, Colin, is kind of mad wizardry. And there's some percussion instruments that I'm sure many of us have never heard of, like goat's nail. Can you describe that and where we might hear that?
Well, I just know that both Ciro and Jamie have, you know, they're like, yeah, they really are like mad wizards, and they come with all kinds of gear, and I don't know what, you know, all sorts of shakes and rattles and noisemakers of all kinds. And somehow, because they are so out of the box, literally, at times, they really color the piece in such an amazing way. And I think Osvaldo loves the fact of, and their parts are improvised, some of them, not all of it. But I think that in order to create a magical moment, which I feel like he's always trying to do, you know, want that feeling of improvisation, whether it's notated or not. And that's where I feel like with Osvaldo, he's always asking for us to go beyond what is just written down on the page.
Now, I know in the recording session that both Yo-Yo Ma and the composer had some pretty strong visual images that they gave you to have in your mind as you were playing the piece. Would you talk about those and how you actually were able to execute on those ideas?
I'll just say I actually can relate particularly to one of the first images that comes up. I mean, just the way the piece starts, which Yo-Yo was talking about being like the beginning of time or the primordial ooze on Earth. My daughter was supposed to be born, like the due date was during the recording sessions. She actually held out a couple of weeks, but my wife was there at the recording sessions and I couldn't help but really be feeling that sense of beginning of life. So that the piece will be personally meaningful forever, literally.
And on the third movement, which is sort of the intimate movement where you have just yo-yo, just percussion and accordion sort of making this game together. You know, that thing of if you're on a train and you're going really fast on the plains and you look really far away, everything's so still and moving so slow, and then you look straight down and the rocks underneath the train are moving so fast. It's the same idea of being in the sky, photographs from the moon looking down at the earth. Things look so still, and yet things are crazy in that moment.
I just love the second movement. It kind of sounds like little frogs in the strings, little bubbles in a pond, and then meanwhile Yo-Yo is spinning one of the most long, beautiful, simple melodies on top for what seems like a long time. It has a Messiaen-like sense of time.
Totally.
Where time stands still, and there are few people who have bow control like Yo-Yo who can spin a melody like that. Another was towards the end, where the end of the piece has a coda, pulsars and shooting stars, and what was the image Osvaldo had, Eric? About Louis Armstrong on a
cosmic horse in the Milky Way.
Yeah, on a ride to the Milky Way on a cosmic horse, you know. And
when you make it to the end of this recording, it ends with about a 2-minute long fade out, and before that you have these shooting stars, then these brass huge explosions, like I think
gestures,
just like, you know, when you're lucky enough in late August to be somewhere that's really dark and you get to see that shower, that meteor shower that happens. I just remember that from music camp and feeling that incredible thing that these things are flying by and there's no control over them. And I remember thinking about that when we were doing this and recording, and Yo-Yo was saying to me, don't be nice, just go, give it to us, give it, and like give these gestures that would sort of
pull us through this section and get us where we need to be, and the spontaneity of actually knowing that all of us will do this thing together and then slowly fade into the universe.
There are all these shooting stars, like literally melting away until all you hear at the end is basically Yo-Yo's hair on the instrument and Michael Ward Bergman's accordion sort of breathing, almost like the expansion of the universe.
Yeah.